Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today we're going verse by verse through the book of John. So turn there in your Bibles as we join Pastor Mike.
That's why the Bible tells us we need to be born again so the spirit can rule over the mind and rule over the body. That's how we get control. You can go all to all the meetings, self-help meetings, AA meetings, all those things you want. But until we realize that it is God that gets control of our emotions, our feelings, our desires, we're still going to be, as I said earlier, I'm really a good person, I'm really a good person, I'm really a good person. But it isn't going to make you a good person. What makes you a good person is Christ. Our righteousness is in Him. He closes with His righteousness. I go to heaven, you go to heaven, because God is good, not because we're good. We're always going to be a failure. We always stumble, bumble around in this world. But that is not an excuse to stay that way. We say, okay, God, help me go on with you. Wrap me in your righteousness. And so Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus here is expressing to them, He's in the express image of the Father, and that they could see what the Father would do. He healed the blind. He was healing the lame. We remember He told the guy that was lame by the pool, He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Oh, they got all mad about that because He did that on the Sabbath. Well, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. They were always trying to kill Jesus. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Now, Jesus is reasoning with them. And the Jews said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now, friends, again, there's so many cults out there that don't believe Jesus is God. Right here's a good illustration where even the Pharisees knew what Jesus was saying. It's too bad that they are saying, the cults are saying the same things the Pharisees do. Well, Jesus isn't God. Well, who is He? Well, He was a really good teacher. Really? Who's Jesus? Well, He was God's son, but there's many sons of God, they'll say. In fact, you'll always find, in fact, you can go into Islam, God had no sons. So it depends on which religion you pick. But this is why Christianity is different than all the other religions, because, again, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Well, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? This is found in Psalms 82, verse 6. Now, He's not saying ye are God, speaking of everybody, but He was talking there in Psalms 82 about the judges of the day. And in the judges, they would determine a person who lived and a person who died. And in fact, many of them, being even sometimes kings, from them they would get the word of God, such as King David. And we find Psalms 51 and other psalms that David wrote. He didn't write all the psalms, but he wrote a good portion of them. And so he is saying to them, you're gods, in that you are judges. And He says, if He calls them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. So in other words, if with a little g, speaking of judges, not everybody, but those that were in position, and they were receiving the word of God, and you received the word of God from them, without any miracles, because again, Jesus said, for which miracle have I done that you want to stone me? Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blasphemy because I said I'm the Son of God? Look, I am proving to you what I'm saying by the miracles that I've done. You accepted in the Old Testament what the judges said when they said, you are God, speaking of in their hands was life and death, and you would receive the word of God from them without any miracles. I come along with miracles and you reject what I say. If you do not believe, if you do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. He said, so he said, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. What am I doing that is so bad that you want to kill me for? You think about that for a minute. The old saying, no good deed goes unpunished. Well, the more miracles that Jesus did, the more they wanted to kill him. Somebody might say, well, Jesus was hardening the Pharisees' heart because the more miracles he did, the madder they got. Well, friends, let me tell you the same way it is with you. The longer you walk with Christ, the more God does miracles in your life, the more people see that you're no longer the person you used to be. The more of a living example of the power of God you are, and that they can't argue with. So the only thing they can do is either accept Jesus Christ that changed your life and wants to change there, or kill you, or destroy you, or gossip about you, or ruin your reputation. That's why the Bible said it's by the fruit you know them, not by their reputation, not by their mistakes they made. It's by their fruit. Why? Because that is the divine hand of God in your life. It's irrefutable. I've had people come up to me and say, Mike, I want to share Jesus with my friends, but I don't know the Bible very good. What do you do? Well, you just shut up for 20 years until you really get snow. You have what God has done for you. You have your personal testimony. You can't deny it. God has changed you. People see the change in you. We're no longer what we were. It's what God's made us. I don't have to go back to what I was. Do you think people don't know that? Do you think when if you fall down and you get up again and people see the anointing of God in your life, they're either going to say, wow, God is good, or kill him. Well, that's what they were doing to Jesus. And so don't think it's strange when it happens to you. Do you think it's anything that you might be in a business partnership and your business partner throws you out, or a spouse or something like that? And well, without me in their life, they're going to crumble and fall apart. And you don't. In fact, you do really well. In fact, God rebuilds your life. And so then, what do they say? Well, they were lucky. No, it's the anointing of God in your life. Well, without me in the business partnership, they'll never make it. And you go off and all of a sudden your business is bigger and better now than it ever was before. Oh, that drives them crazy. Why is that? It's the anointing of God in your life. Remember, you are God's child. It isn't church. It isn't religion. You know, so much of church today is, I don't know what the church is anymore. But it's Jesus. It's about him. Take away all the religious garb and wrapping and trappings and just get back to him. It's God in you, the hope of glory. It is what's irrefutable. People see you, they see God. And to some, again, you're going to be, what do they got? I want it. And others, they're going to go, get away from that person because they've got something bigger going for them than me. And I'm God and I don't like what's going on there. That's the problem. That's one of the things in becoming born again. You have to admit that I am not the master of my destiny. Now I've turned my life over to Christ. So Jesus goes on. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. It's really amazing. The works of God in your life are irrefutable. If you're a family, you got a little baby in your arms, that's God's blessing. It is. I know at 3 a.m. it doesn't sound like it, but isn't it funny God calls us his children? You know what kids do? Dumb stuff. I think kids should be barred from bathrooms. They just should. I don't even want to tell you guys what my kids did. Toothbrushes and toilets, they don't go together. And you, stuff that seems so obvious, they don't get. But yet in the world, and when you deal with people, things that seem so obvious, they don't get either. We need a shepherd. We need a heavenly Father. Isn't it funny that Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. It tells me a couple things. One, we have a daddy that will look out for us. And it tells me, second of all, I need a daddy. You need to know. Therefore, verse 39. Again, when you ever find the word therefore in the Bible, find out why it's therefore. I know it's corny, but it's true. It's a summary of what you just read. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. I always like this when I read this in the Bible because it tells me that Jesus was ordinary in the eyes of people. In other words, therefore, they sought to seize him again and they found him because he glowed in the dark. They went to seize him and they grabbed him because he was the one with the halo. It says he escaped out of their hand. Jesus could disappear. It isn't that he vanished. It's just that he wasn't honestly, as we see sometimes portrayed in pictures, the blue-eyed or blonde-haired Irishman Jesus. He fit into the culture of the day. And he went his way again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at the first. And there he stayed. And many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. Two things that we find here. First one, there's many things, but the first one is when he was rejected by those and they wanted to kill him, Jesus didn't go off and have a pity party. He just kept right on going. He went up to where John was baptizing. Evidently, there was probably disciples that believed in John there. So he went to where there was encouragement. Don't ever be discouraged because someone makes fun of you for your faith or fires you because you're a Christian or puts you down because of your relationship with God. What God has called us to do is keep going. Don't stop. The devil would do nothing better than to paralyze you with something from your past, which brings us in to our relationship with Christ. For this reason, Christ died. What is it in your life that you would think would hold you back? Well, everything would work except this one mistake that I did, and I can't get around this. The good news is Jesus fixes what's wrong. Religions of the world, friends, will always offer in some way to get right with God. Go say so many Hail Marys, or go burn so many incense sticks, or go knock on so many doors, or go do so many charitable deeds and community service. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's what Jesus does that the others don't do. God fixes what's wrong. Not only can we be forgiven of what we did wrong, but the Bible says, knowing this, all things work together to the good to those that know and love God according to his purpose. God fixes my past to advance me today. God fixes what's wrong in your life to advance you today. Only God does that. God takes a train wreck and makes a beautiful watch out of it. How does he do it? I don't know. But he does. He promises that he will. So let him. Now, that means I need to move myself into the position where God can, and I have to give God permission to do that. God is the perfect gentleman. I think it's interesting that in Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come in and have dinner with him. It doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and kick it off its hinges. God's not going to do that. He waits for us to say, okay, God, I give you permission to work in my life. That's what becoming born again is. We confess our sins are forgiven. Now God begins to restore us and fix us and move us into the position that he's going to use us for the rest of our lives. Friends, that's only God. Only God does that. I don't know any other force, tonic, program, self-help method out there that will do that. Because tomorrow has too many variables. I don't know what tomorrow holds. God does. So God can prepare me, you today, even with the bad things of our past, to straighten us so that we will be of most effectiveness in the days to come. Only God does that. But you got to ask him to do that. You know, in communion, in today's communion, it's the only tangible thing that God gave us to remember him by. Not 8x10 glossies in the back of the church or bronze statues in the city park. Not little trinkets around our neck or something that we'd glue to the dashboard of our car. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He held up the bread, he broke it and passed it around. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Then he held up the cup, said, this is my blood that was shed for you. New covenant. New deal. Well, most of us Christians understand the cup, the blood Jesus shed for us. Yes, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness of sins. Jesus forgave us. But the bread, Peter said, by his stripes we're healed. Friends, the older I get, the more I know I need to be healed. I just do. I just need to be healed. No, I don't have a cold or any other ailment, but I find it's my memories. It's my thought patterns. It's what people have done to me and what I've done to others. I find that we need to be healed. And you carry that around with you, unforgiven, uncorrected, unrestored, it will affect the way you look at life today and tomorrow and people and everything else. You might say that in a way, when we have communion, it's like God's giant Holy Ghost shower. Oh, I just need to get all clean. I like that. I need that. You need that. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. If you do it once a month or every day with someone you love, it doesn't matter. It's often as you do this. Never let it become a ritual. I was in church for many years and never even knew what the bread was for. But then somebody told me, Peter said, by his stripes we're healed. And I'm going, but I don't have cancer. No, but you got something a lot worse than that. Your memories. You know what's funny? That without being healed inside, you can be miserable. They've done autopsies on people who have jumped off the bridge. They actually have nothing physically wrong with them, that kill themselves. It's something inside that isn't right. You need to be healed. Our emotions need to be healed. Our thoughts need to be healed. Our rage needs to be healed. And if we don't allow God to heal us, we carry that. And it taints everything that we see, everything that we do. The things that I see, it taints because I think, well, you know, there's no more pure motive out there. And so there's got to be someone's trying to get your goose. And it's about Jesus. Let God heal you today. Let God start, you know, let God let you hit the reset button. You need that. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you're missing out. You have no shepherd. So that means you're out free ranging. I have found when I free range, I can get into all kinds of trouble. I was over at some friend's house last night, and we began to talk about free ranging. Up by Shoshone and out towards the ice caves, when they were putting the highway in, going to Sun Valley and widening it, they would come across dens of rattlesnakes. When they had to blast, they would put the dynamite in and then they would run and get in their trucks. Because when the dynamite would go off to clear the road, to make it level where they could put the asphalt and the ground base down, They said sometimes snakes, when it would blow up, would be flying through the air because sometimes there could be dozens of them in these dens. Now, I've walked around out there, never thought about snakes at all. They're real. He said there sometimes as many and can be as many of them as hundreds in one den. And so when they would blow it up, flying snakes. And you know, they're going to be really happy about being blown up too. So if they're still alive, you know. The point is, I have found when we free range, we can get into trouble. There is no place where we can go where it's safe. Jesus said he puts us in his sheepfold and he's the gate. Nothing comes in that's going to hurt you. No one's going to get out. I like that. This morning, I want to invite you, if you're not a Christian, let Jesus do what he wants to do in your life. The Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful, just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can be new here today. You can have where you say, our father, you have a daddy that loves you. Right now, you're illegitimate. You don't have a father. You're free ranging. And I, again, you free range, you're going to find yourself in trouble because there's no restraint. Well, God, you don't love me because you're holding me back. You better believe he is. You better believe he is. That's like going out here where these guys jump off the bridge, which I still can't figure out. But, and you say, are you going to take a parachute? No, they're so restrictive. Heard a story about they had bungee jumping. I think they pretty much stopped it. But they had it where there was a platform that you got on and you went up. And then like in a mall or something like that, they have bungee jumping. And you would jump off the bungee with the bungee and you'd go down. And, you know, it's kind of fun and they lower you down. Well, the girl lied about her weight. They gave her a bungee for a much lighter girl. So when she jumped off, because she weighed more than the rubber band could carry, she smacked the ground, not with full force, but she smacked the ground and, you know, she knocked her out. Bungees are so restrictive. Aren't you glad, God, because we belong to him, he's the good shepherd. This morning, if you're tired of free ranging, let's pray. You can come home to Christ. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And his blood covered my sins. And so now, from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. For your purpose. I'm sorry about the stupid way that I have lived. And so now, from this day forward, I want to belong to you. Make me the best I can be for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me hear your voice each day. And for this, God, I ask you, in Jesus' name, and thank you for eternal life.
Thank you for joining us on It's Time as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com/It's Time. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thank you for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.